systems are offline.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
The Pat and AJ Podcast.
Well, because they got great banter. They jib-jab, 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 jib-jab.
Pat and AJ.
I feel like the conversation we've been having in the last 5 minutes is a lot more interesting than the shit they're talking about on the radio. Just moronic commentary and stupid sound effects, and it's just dumb. It doesn't make any sense.
It's the Pat and AJ Podcast.
What's wrong? Is our equipment busted or what?
No. Messing with knobs, touching stuff.
That's what she said.
Hey, now. That's what AJ caught me like in the middle of, you know, when you're in the middle of one of those really intricate Instagram posts.
Yes.
And I'm talking multiple videos and people and tags and places.
Yeah.
And like I'm in the middle of posting everything that I saw last night in Phoenix, Arizona, which was just holy balls.
Were you waiting for it to upload, or you were just in the middle of posting?
No, I'm in the middle of like doing the hashtags and the tags and everything, and it's like intense, and she's like, let's record! Let's go! So one, I want to say, you better follow our Instagram, because I'm putting up this really cool Instagram, Pat and AJ Podcast on the gram, about what I did last night.
I say you better pet our dog, because you were gone pretty much all of yesterday, and he very much missed you.
Yeah, yes.
He's like up your ass right now for attention.
Yeah, so yesterday was crazy, because we started off the day, our son, he had a tour of the University of Arizona, which is here locally in Tucson, but also it's a pretty big university. So we started the day doing that. And then by the nighttime, I was going off to a Christmas show in Phoenix. And now I'm here recording this, petting my dog's butt.
Yeah.
So go on the, seriously, go on the gram. I went to this thing last night. It was called Alice Cooper's Christmas Pudding. And I had heard about this. I mean, I'd already kind of heard.
I had never heard about
this heard
before
about it.
You told me.
Well, because I knew that Alice Cooper was like really local to Phoenix. Like, I know he gets tied to Detroit, but he is settled in Phoenix, right? So he is like, I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to think of a comparable figure. He's just kind of like a known, famous local. And he does a lot of good community shit, as you can imagine, with music and programs and helping the kids. So we did this big fundraiser. I was fucking involved.
No,
I was.
You paid for a ticket. That was your contribution.
That was. And I bought it. And any item in that place that was like all the proceeds go to charity, I'm like all in.
But you bought a t-shirt.
I did buy a t-shirt. And I bought a specialty holiday drink, too, where 100% of the...
Oh, my God. For a second, I thought you were going to say it was
$100. No.
Which wouldn't surprise me.
It was 100, like the theater where I was, 100% of the proceeds from the holiday drink special menu would go to, like, the charity, too. So it was a big fundraiser, and its Instagram post is going to... be amazing. Once I can finish it after this, you guys can go to our Instagram and see my big post all about the Christmas pudding concert extravaganza. And it really was an extravaganza. Hey, it's Christmas time already. Look at that. We're talking about Christmas.
Wild.
Last time we were here wasn't even Thanksgiving.
But that's how long it's been since we've recorded. I have felt so bad. This has just been like the month from hell for us. Like, since from now back, it's just been so insanely busy. And then everybody got deathly ill.
Holy shit.
I'll take the blame for it.
Go ahead.
I don't know who I got it from.
No. But you are, you're patient zero. You're the reason we're on the bus, or I should say the cruise ship, because tell me when you most normally hear these words, norovirus.
Norovirus. Yeah, they get them. It spreads on cruise ships.
Right. Usually cruise ships. And what do you hear? You hear about the people, they get the boops, and it's coming out the front side, the back side.
So, hang on. Let me brag for 1 second about how I ended up getting it. Because it was the best of times and the worst of times. It was the best and worst 24 hours of my life. I'm not even kidding. It happened so fast. So I was at the Western Region Aroctus in Phoenix, which is the regional Irish dance competition.
Okay.
So it's like 22 states compete. All the dancers compete at this one competition. I recalled for the first time ever, which is basically they split your group in half and they recall the top half. I recalled it's for the first time ever.
The cream rises to the top. It's the qualifiers. It's when you're watching the Olympics and you're like, how come the stadium's not packed for this round? You're like, because that's not the round that everyone's watching. Here's where we're trimming the fat.
So I recalled for the first time and I placed 11th in the region, which was incredible. Incredible.
No, seriously, I don't think I know a lot about this, but I know enough that this is a big fucking deal.
Yeah, this is...
To my wife, this is a big deal.
And you know, in the hierarchy of Irish dance, the Worlds is the top tier. Worlds, Nationals, and then Regional Oireachtas. So this is like the third most important competition you can have and place at. So it was wonderful. I got to take the big stage. I got a medal. I mean, it was incredible. And also and
what else happened?
Well, and our eight hand Kaylee team. No, that's let me not finish. What I'm talking about. Our eight hand Kaylee team took third out of like I don't know five She's or six used... teams. So that it was a great. This happened. This all happened at about 7 o'clock on Saturday night.
So you did a big dance competition.
Yes.
In your old-timey style of dance. I love how she's using all this lingo. Like you guys know what's going on
well,
in her
I'm just
head.
Not going to explain it anymore.
Forehand,
if
eight-hand.
You're curious. That means eight of us were dancing together. Oh, so that happened at about 7 p.m. I went home the next day.
Go ahead.
You know, beaming from ear to ear. I accomplished a huge goal. I got home, took a short nap because it was a drive from Phoenix. I was tired. And then I got up and Pat and I went to walk the dog together because we hadn't seen each other since Saturday. So we're walking and I remember I'm like, oh. Man, you know what? I think you're on your own for dinner tonight. I'm just kind of not feeling good.
I do, yeah, because you had brought down from Phoenix, because I'm a Chicago snob, and there's a lot of Chicagoans who, like, I don't know what it is. The East Coast, New York, those people, they all
it's
go to Florida.
The weather. They all
No, but I'm saying.
The Midwesterners come to Phoenix, yeah.
We, for some reason, we all come to Arizona in, like, Chicago, you know? And that's our thing. So there's a Chicago pizza shop called Lou Malnati's, and you brought home. You drove from Phoenix, Arizona to Tucson, Arizona, hour and a half in the car.
Fresh pizza, yeah.
A big pizza pie. You had a deep dish pizza.
I mean,
you got what John Stewart calls a disgrace to the New York thing. I'll tell you this thing, it's a big, big pizza pie.
It broke my heart to say I'm really not going to eat it tonight because I'm just not
feeling
good.
Remember
that.
We're walking the fucking dog who I'm fucking with right now because he won't relax. But, you know, you're like, yeah, my stomach's not feeling that well. I think you should just get down on that pizza. And I'm like, yes, ma'am. I will fucking smash that pizza. Thank you.
So within an hour of, I'm not feeling good, it went to vomiting, shitting, sometimes having to decide which one happened in the toilet. Yes, there was a moment where they both happened at the same time. The stomach pain was like the worst thing I've ever experienced in my life. I was literally, I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'm sleeping in the bathroom. Like I was literally going to grab a blanket and just like, and a pillow and sleep on the bathroom floor. And I'm like, and I literally.
I'm not laughing at your pain on that, but it's like, I've been there before where you're like, I'm just tired of getting up.
Yeah, I can't.
Like, should I just relocate where I need to be?
I felt so gross, but I just wanted to lay down, but I'm like, I need to shower. I feel disgusting. And I had to shower so fast because I knew I was going to shit or vomit anytime. So I'm like, shower as fast
as
you can.
It's not a bad place to shit or vomit in the shower.
Ooh, not vomit. That's chunky.
Depends what you're vomiting
up. Well, that's true. At that point, I was just I had vomited everything up and there was nothing left.
What was your, hold on, what?
No, our son's worried about that. Dylan, just shut the door, please.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you.
Don't worry about it, man.
So I handed the phone to my husband and I said, call me in sick. I can't go to work in the morning, you know, at 2:30 in the morning. And then with
it. Which, hold on, by the way, AJ's boss, this is a really weird fucking, this is how world works, man. Remember that, boys and girls? Oh, now the dog's got a squeaky toy.
Oh,
that's
great.
My wife's boss at her big girl job is a college classmate of mine. Yeah. Who I have not spoken to, by the way.
Since college.
Since college. We're talking 1997.
You know, everybody's in touch on Facebook, but actually spoken to? No. So I handed the
you
phone.
You hand me the phone, and I'm calling my old... I'm like, hey, how's it going, man? Remember me? We had a class together. Anyway, listen, my wife is puking and she is shitting right now, so she can't come into work.
So within about 15 minutes of that, I made the mistake of looking into the toilet, and I said, okay, I just vomited blood, so I think we have to go to the ER. So we went to the ER.
I thought we were going to have a fucking relaxing
I did too.
Weekend. Like, my woman, I mean, do we need to dump him out of here with this squeaky ball?
He's fine.
It's a squeaky ball. People are going to fucking go nuts.
Nobody cares.
People are going to go nuts with a squeaky ball.
They're listening to us, not the squeaky ball.
I'm telling you there.
Stop it. Keep talking. My God, you and our son cannot deal with this dog.
It bothers me.
Okay, keep going.
Come on. Can we just switch the one ball with that ball? Can we do that? Can we go take that ball?
Go ahead.
Do you want me to do it?
Yes, you do it. If that's what you want.
Listen, I don't edit this thing anymore. If you are under the assumption that I'm going to edit any of this out,
I don't care if you do
it. It does not happen.
So we go to the, we were supposed to have just a relaxing night, kind of a little celebration of everything. And then I ended up in the ER. When I say the stomach pain was the worst thing, like, it was worse than it was more frequent than childbirth. It just never went away. So I ended up in the ER, and as soon as I came in and told them my symptoms, they said, oh, it's probably norovirus. That's going around. And I panicked, because I'm like, holy shit, that's that thing they get on cruise ships that is like incredibly contagious. They're like, yeah, I can live on countertops.
Well, that's what I was going to say, that like most people, you know, before we could celebrate the good tidings that you got there, or is it tithings?
No, tithing is like pain. That's like that's something you do
money?
At church. Yeah.
But I mean, because we're trying to celebrate you, and then you want to tell us about the norovirus, and we didn't even get a cruise ship out of the entire
deal. No, we didn't. I was glad though. I'm like, what if this is like a bowel obstruction and I'm dying? Because really, when you start vomiting blood and you can't, you're like doubled over in pain, it's scary. So when they said norovirus, I was actually kind of relieved, because I'm like, well, I know what that is. But then I was thinking back to the weekend.
Relieved.
Oh, I was. I thought back to the weekend, and like I was asses to elbows with, I don't even know how many people.
Well, I mean, this
hundreds
is,
and hundreds of people all over over the country in the ballrooms over the weekend at the competition. I'm like, no kidding, you got it there. Like,
I mean, but like, you guys were part of this same, and this goes for all those industries. I mean, when COVID hit, you guys were like, holy fuck, what do we do? Because that's like your bread and butter, right?
Yeah.
You guys get people together,
yeah.
And there's lots of folks there, and there's money being generated because there's little booths and stands and all that shit, and we get it. And you guys got shut down. So I would have thought, man, we would have learned something about fucking maybe washing our hands or staying home when you're fucking sick.
Well, that's the thing, is this...
Fuck no!
The norovirus,
fuck no.
It happens so fast, and it is so contagious that it's like almost impossible to stay away from it. So I get home from the ER the next morning, whatever. It's still awful. I mean, I don't even want to talk about it. It was so gross. I'm still 2 weeks out, and I'm still not back to eating normally. I'm still nauseous, and I'm still exhausted. It's that bad.
She is a tough, if I can say this in the most, you know, 1960s way, she's a tough broad. My wife over here does not buckle to any disease. I made a joke with her because her father, from his deathbed, famously booked a cruise.
Yes, he did.
This is true. A man who was dying, who was having limbs amputated, picked up his phone, tapped enough to book himself a cruise. And I laughed because I said, holy shit, that's my wife. Like, my wife will be on her deathbed, you know, trying to book. You'll be booking the next dance competition. Comp. That was my joke. I'm like, she'll be on her deathbed. She'll be like, I need to sign up for the Texas Arachnus. It's the Southwest Finals 2049. It's not too far away. But you that night are you go from having me call in to my college classmate to call you off work to we need to go to the ER. And not only
I've never vomited blood before.
This, I don't need to tell you, she does not go to the ER. Not only because she's a bad bitch, but because she also despises the healthcare industry.
Well, who doesn't?
And she's like, oh, well, there are lots of examples of that lately.
Yeah. Fuck them. Seven ways from Sunday.
But, you know, my wife is like, she'll be like, nah, I don't need the cost. I've never had her say, I think you need to take me to the ER. And I'm like, holy fuck, she's dying. I am literally right now going, this is it. This is how I end up a fucking widow before I'm 50. I go, Jesus Christ, if I bury my mom before I'm 40 and I bury my wife before I'm 50, I go, I'm fucking done. I'm tapping out, man, all right? I'm donezo with all this shit. And literally, I was like, this is it. Norovirus? I mean, this is like, this is basic. And I don't say that like in a basic way, but it's basic that it's common.
It's common. I mean, the nurse said they had two large, because she had it. The nurse said it had had it. And she said there would have been two large groups of people in the ER in the last 2 weeks that had it. So she's like,
it's, so it spread across
it
Arizona.
Just spread. And now, I mean, still, like, we had dance shows this weekend. I had dancers calling off left and right because they all had this stomach
bug.
Didn't
you say that at the actual dance competition?
Oh, a whole shit ton of people went home and got sick. They got home and they were sick, just like
yeah, like you said the same thing. So one of the girls was supposed to, like, almost didn't make it on stage because they
and
were.
He was actually having. He was at. He actually won like, gosh, like 10th place.
Okay.
And his mom was like, he almost couldn't make it on stage for this. Goodness. And she's like, by the time we got back to the hotel room, he was doubled over.
You know,
it was icky. It was, and it's nasty.
So that's what happens prior to Thanksgiving, right? So Thanksgiving is, that's the weekend before. And AJ is all concerned about getting her appetite and everything back.
Well, who isn't? It's like, it's Thanksgiving week. I want turkey.
I mean, not even that we're doing anything big, because she has to work, of course. And you know, the kids off school, no big deal, but no fam. No one comes and fucking sees us. So, like, we're literally out here by ourselves. And she's all concerned about getting her appetite back. We do the big Thanksgiving dinner.
I felt like shit, but I still obsessively clean the house because I'm like, I cannot have the boys getting this. Like, if I go to the ER, can you imagine two boys getting this?
I mean, but at this point, don't you just, I mean, it's like COVID. Like, what are you going to do when it hits a house, right? Yeah. So
I was kind of, I barely ate on Thanksgiving.
It was like an Ozempic Thanksgiving.
It was an Ozempic Thanksgiving,
It's like she sat there after she took her shot of Wegovy and had like one bite of turkey, bite of mash.
I had some mashed potatoes. I had a few carrots. And of course, I sucked down a piece of pie because who wouldn't? I couldn't stomach the mac and cheese. That literally just stayed on my, and you know I'm sick if I can't eat mac and cheese.
She is a scony girl with the cheese.
So that happened. And then, you know, I'm like, wow, this is hard to get over. Like, again, I'm still tired. Like, I'm still,
and like all
the fatigue is nuts.
All they do, by the way, at the ER, besides rule out everything else,
yeah,
right?
They did a CT scan.
We make sure you're not dying. We make sure Pat doesn't become a fucking, you know, widower already. You get fluids and you get some anti-nausea medication, and they basically say, strap in.
Yeah.
You got about 24 to 72 of this, and then we're just going to have to get you slowly back on track.
That's hard. I mean, I had some crackers this morning and two pieces of toast, and I ate a piece of our son's leftover pizza, and I think I'm done for the day. Like, I just can't. And it hit our son on Saturday morning.
Then it hit our
after
son.
Thanksgiving. I got a text from him in the middle of the night that I didn't see till the morning. It said, hey, I just threw up at like 3:30. And I'm like, why wouldn't you come in here and tell me? And then, you know, I go over.
Love how Gen Z communicates. I know. They'll just like text you a fucking puking emoji.
So I go over there and like, he's got it. I'm like, okay, well, here we go. He's got it too. He's shitting. He's puking. It's awful. And then
the last soldier, last soldier in the house. So, I was battening down the hatches. I said, no, I can do this. I have not fallen ill
at all
in
this
the
year.
Calendar year of 2024.
Yeah, you haven't. And then this was great. So he came to bed on Saturday night and like he had gas, which is, there's nothing new about
that. Talking about me, by the way.
Yeah. You had gas. It was not a surprise. It was especially spicy, though. I was like,
but I ate a lot of shit that day.
Oh, you ate so much shit that day.
AJ bought all this food, and then she comes down with the norovirus, so she's not eating it. So there's like trays of cinnamon buns, all this shit that she has self-control to eat in like little batches.
You guys,
I just tear through.
Let me tell you this, and if you shop at Costco, you'll know.
Because it was my Thanksgiving goddamn weekend.
They have cinnamon rolls back at Costco, and I buy them once a year because they're amazing, but they are just so bad for you. The big tray of cinnamon rolls with the icing and everything.
Mm-hmm.
This mother effer over here plowed through a half a tray of those in 1 day. Like, I feel bad if I, like, pull apart one. Man. I'm like, okay, that's the one for the day. He plowed, apparently he's never had them before. He plowed through half a tray. So, naturally, when he had gas, I thought, well, you just ate shit on top of shit today. No wonder you have gas. But then, you know, I woke up in the morning and I, you know, I walked the dog and stuff. And I came back in the bedroom and it smelled like gas, like spicy gas. And I said, ooh, man, he's still having problems. And then I went in the bathroom. I'm like, holy shit, it smells in here too. And within an hour of that, I hear him run into the bathroom and start puking.
There you go, folks. Norovirus made the hat trick of AJ, our son, and me all over the week before, during, and after Thanksgiving.
Our son had to stay home an extra day after Thanksgiving break.
Yeah, like, I took off. I couldn't because mine came down Sunday. And so I wiped my calendar. I didn't take any clients on Monday.
And then I forced him to take off work Tuesday because
I didn't want to take off Tuesday. Yeah, but he slept
all
me.
Day on Monday. I'm like, how are you going to pull off a full work day?
Oh, I didn't have any fucking energy. It was terrible. It was the worst thing. And then I'm sitting there. And, you know, anyone who's had any kind of bout of, you know, when things are coming out the front, the back, and everything else, you're sweating, you're dehydrated, norovirus. You start contemplating life and you start thinking things. And I'm like, if I was on a fucking cruise ship and I had this,
then think about it. Yeah.
I mean, legitimately, only, I would pray for death.
And if you
I would
had
pray
it,
for death, I would say, please.
If you had it, there's 100 other passengers that have it too, which is just vile and disgusting.
I could not, like, it was uncomfortable enough trying to exist in my own home.
All you want to do is sleep and you can't. Your body.
Because you're sore.
Your body is so sore.
Oh, it's the worst.
I mean, I was going from like wearing, I think I was wearing wool socks, sweatpants, a sweatshirt with the hood over my head. And within an hour, I was dripping sweat. You go from cold. It was just the thought of being stuck on a ship at sea with that is just vile. And I feel so bad for anybody who's done it. So in, you know, in,
that's why we haven't been on the podcast for a couple
weeks.
To make
a long story gross, that's been the problem around the house.
I'm still a bad puker, guys. In case you're wondering, Pat's still a bad puker, would be a terrible bulimic. I am.
Can you please recreate? You guys, he's so loud. I heard him from outside the house.
Can I try? I can try. Okay, I'll try.
Back up from only, the mic a little bit.
Only once.
Once.
And I'm lucky, too, when I was a drunk that I wasn't a fucking puker. No. Never drank till I threw up.
He's
just
such a horrible puker.
If I can make
this is
sound.
What he sounds like.
No.
No, that's not at all what you sound like. Okay, forget it. That's not what you sound like.
I can't do it.
Like, that's so much not. Okay. It's so much worse.
Put it like this. I've never been able to, for all you, you know, and this is where not like Gen Z fucking listens to us, but this is how we used to drink. You ever seen someone do a beer bong? And we've all seen it at a college frat party, right?
Yeah.
And they always tell you what? Open your throat. Oof. You're supposed to be able to open your throat and magically, like, whoosh, all this, like, booze can, like, run. And listen, I've seen people do it. I had a best friend who passed away. God bless you, H. He was one of those dudes who could, quote, unquote, open his throat and slam a beer in, like, three seconds. I could never do that. Like, even with the gravity bong of beer, I'd be like, gulp, gulp. Like, it would be a conscious drinking thing. So, with that being said, I am just not good at whatever it is in this up here, opening this thing up. It doesn't happen unless it's normal. So whenever in my life I've been forced to, unfortunately, upchuck, I don't know what it is. I just fucking like,
I
scorch my throat apart and then I can't talk, which was great.
He lost his voice for a day or two.
Great for a guy who used to work on the fucking radio. And even better now, as I learned, I thought my job was primarily listening, but then I realized, fuck, I do talk a lot in session.
Yes. You're a therapist. You dummy.
You know, I'm like, shit, mind, I listen more.
It's very weird to me because I'm like a recovering bulimic. So I can puke without making a sound.
However, can you do that?
How? Lots of unhealthy practice.
Practice?
Lots of eating disorder practice. I do not recommend it.
Could you imagine me trying to be a bulimic? Could you imagine Pat the bulimic?
You would never be able to hide anything. I'd catch you in the first minute.
The way that I would fucking sneak out the room. That was a great meal. Excuse me.
You have to be stealth when you're a bulimic and you are anything but that.
No,
but
I'm not good at it.
I mean, even when I was throwing up during norovirus, I was making noise because it was just my body was just taking over. But God, I was outside walking the dog, and I get back to the house and I can hear it from the side. Yeah. I'm like, will you guys close the windows, please? I know it's nice out, but for fuck's sake.
Welcome. It's happy Thanksgiving, motherfuckers. God. It's December. Merry Christmas.
It's so gross.
So that's literally what's been going on in our house. That's why we haven't been on.
We're all still struggling to have normal poops. Like, it's just crazy. We're discussing our poops. Shit. Like, how was that? Oh, it was tough. It's brutal. I don't recommend. Okay. 0 out of 10.
So we had someone point out the obvious, and I want to hold ourselves accountable. AJ does this with the Howard Stern show all the time these days, by the way. She holds them accountable.
I do. And it,
she gets very
upset. They don't listen to me.
That they don't listen to her. So I want to hold ourselves accountable. What do you know about a pineapple? More so not what do you know about a pineapple. Yes, the way they grow is very unique. It is cool to see them grow out of they grow out of ground. Did you guys know that? Like on the top of a stalk, right? What do you think a pineapple symbolizes?
I don't know. I love pineapples, so I just get excited when I see one.
Well, if you do a quick Google search, the most obvious is hospitality.
Oh,
and maybe that is why it's been adopted, you know, in Hawaii and a lot of the tropical Pacific islands. They put pineapples everywhere. It's a sign of hospitality. And then for those of us who were cool, there was a movement that started about 20 years back where the pineapple also kind of meant that you were cool with the marijuana.
Oh, the Pineapple Express. Derp.
I mean, that's a strain, definitely born. That strain it was bred sense. Out of the pineapple lore, where the pineapple then took on like, hey, you're kind of hip with the pot. Now I know that sound. I sound like fucking Old Man River because there's kids now who are like, what are you talking about? My dad buys weed at 7-Eleven. Okay. Just at a point in time, we used to have to give each other little like inside nods, right? I was part of like some fucking Reddit. It was like a pineapple Reddit for like people that smoked weed. It was ridiculous. Yeah. And then people who actually wanted to talk about pineapple would show up and they'd be very upset.
Sad,
they'd be very upset. Why are people talking about marijuana on the Reddit board about pineapples? I have a pineapple shirt. I get it from a great company. It's called Hilo Hattie. They're out of Hilo, Hawaii, Big Island. And here's my little trick, by the way, for being a therapist. You guys always joked about news anchors. You think they wear shorts? You think they're only wearing like the suit top? As a man who sees clients as a mental health therapist from his home and I don't interact with anyone, I wear one shirt a week.
Because you only see them once a week.
There you go. Yeah.
You don't need to really wear more
one
than that.
Shirt a week. And then every hour, I just see a different client, and they see me in that shirt, and then I hang that shirt up, and I wear a different shirt for the next week, right? And so, for the 1 week, I wore myself a pineapple shirt, and you get different reactions, right? My clients love my wardrobe, by the way. And I decided to whip on my old pineapple Hilo Hattie shirt, and I had a client kind of lean back into his chair. And how can I put this without violating HIPAA? This client, I don't think, would be shocked if Jesus Christ resurrected and showed up at his front door for dinner. That's how, like, how much shit this kind of person has seen in their life. So, like, not easily kind of shook. And as we're wrapping up at our session, they go, I got to tell you something. Like that shirt. I go, well, thank you very much. Pineapple. And I go, yep. You know what that stands for, right? And I go, oh, yeah. Thinking we're on the, once again, two men talking about marijuana.
Yeah.
And he goes, all right.
What did he mean?
He goes, all right. He goes, man, no judgment, no judgment. I mean, I always knew you were cool. I didn't know how cool you were. I go, look at me.
You're cool.
I'm fucking cool. But as I went on with my day, I said, That shocks me that this person would be that kind of jazzed that their therapist smokes
pot. He's a pothead.
Right? I'm like, that just, you know what? This person seemed a little bit too much for them to be like, oh, okay. Right on, brother. So, of course, you know I have to do a little bit of Googling. Uh-huh. And when you get underneath hospitality, and when you get underneath all of us old potheads trying to fucking communicate with each other, there is a new representation of the pineapple, specifically when the pineapple is seen upside down.
Oh,
yes,
shit. I know.
Folks, we're swinging. Yeah. We're swinging. We're swapping. Come fuck my wife.
There was just a big news story about, I think it was a cruise line that outlawed pineapples on doors.
That's because, a big thing! Yes!
Because they
yes!
figured out what it meant.
That's
and they're
how
like,
they communicate. Yeah. Like, so if you're on a cruise ship and you see a pineapple sticker on a door, it's like, yo, they're down for some action. So if
Why
you're down...
Why can't a pineapple just be a pineapple? I love pineapple. And if I, like, have a pineapple on my shirt, that means I love pineapple. Okay,
I was, and so I figure that out halfway through my day. I do some Googling and I go, oh, Jesus Christ. Now my fucking client thinks that I'm swapping with my wife, which again, in their mind, they're like, you're pretty fucking cool. I cap my day with a client because I'm their therapist and I know things is polyamorous. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's just part of this person's life. And they're in a great marriage and all the other things, but they have some fun with other folks. And as I cap my day with the knowledge that I now have this, and I open up my screen and I go, hello, final client of the day, poly client. They look at me and they go, oh, I really like that shirt.
Nah.
Oh, come on. Yeah, I know.
So I'm confused. What does this have to do with me holding Howard Stern accountable?
Well, because I talked on the last podcast we did 19 years ago before this one.
Oh, yeah.
I said, hey, I'm going to tell you guys about this thing that happened to me today with a pineapple.
Oh, and was that before and you knew?
Yeah. And like they say, you never told us about a pineapple. So I said, that's the story with the pineapple. So just in case you're wondering, you know, I mean, again, I thought I was getting some hip looks. Like, and I'm like, well, it's not hip to smoke pot anymore. Like, I think it's probably hipper to not smoke
pot.
Yeah. Yeah, like everyone's getting high. So
it's an old radio rule that, like, if something happens or you talk about something and it evolves, let's say you're off for a week, you don't come back and start talking about it because it's a week old.
People don't care.
And that's why I get it. Howard Stern has the most amazing schedule in the history of radio. He only works 3 days a week. Mm-hmm. And he gets a shit ton of vacation time. But there's always something that happens when he's on vacation. And they'll come back and talk about it like 2 months later. And just, you know, from us working in radio, I'm like, that's such a radio no-no. So now I get it. I don't even remember. If it makes you feel better, don't even remember that you talked about the pineapple.
I know you don't, but I know someone listening does.
So we're aware.
I know someone goes, well, what's up with the fucking pineapple? You said you were going to tell us about the pineapple. You didn't tell us about the pineapple. So...
Are you retiring that shirt?
No, that's the thing.
It's a great
Not
shirt.
Only do I have it in two different fucking colors.
Well, then tough shit. You know what? God, it's a Hawaii. No.
Listen.
Bullshit. It's a Hawaiian shirt. It's literally from Hawaii. What makes you think that the pineapple would indicate you're a swinger? Or maybe it's because it's a Hawaiian shirt.
Mother, all I'm saying is you're just going to have to bite the fucking bullet. If we get approached by another, you know, couple out there.
Get out of here.
Who you may think, oh, pineapple, they want to, like, get together and burn one. Well,
oh, yeah?
They do want to get together.
All right, you can go find a third wife for that.
The Pat and AJ Podcast Network is available on all your favorite audio platforms. Subscribe today. Follow Pat and AJ on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook now. At Pat and AJ. PatandAJ.com. Support the Pat and AJ Podcast Network today by donating on Venmo or Cash App. Powered by the people. The Pat and AJ Podcast.